الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini channel, there are so many fadail in relation to sending peace and blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah ta'ala inscribes between his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And the blessings don't end there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued and said, وَأَسْكَنَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. Allah Ta'ala will keep such a person with the martyrs on the Day of Judgment. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us can recite Salat ala Nabi 100 times daily. Meaning, even if you read it at a very slow pace, it will perhaps take 5 minutes of your day. Five minutes is nothing. And when we consider how much time we give to other acts, which may not necessarily benefit us in the dunya nor the akhirah, then it goes without saying that if we're not already spending 5 minutes daily to recite 100 salat ala Nabi already, then from this day forward, inshallah, let's make the intention. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will accept our intention, our dua this moment. And we gain istiqamah in reciting Salat ala Nabi 100 times daily, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions, inshallah, prior to listening to the bayan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are based upon intentions. This is the first hadith sharif of Sahih al-Bukhari. And intentions are so important that ulama say that on the Day of Judgment, many people will look towards their book of deeds and find therein amal salih, pious deeds which they did not actually carry out in the world. And it will be said, this is because of the intention they made to do that good deed. They weren't able to carry it out, but because they had a good intention in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given them the reward of that amal as well. So always making good intentions is a must for us. What intentions can we make? We can make the intention that inshallah, first and foremost, we're here for the pleasure, for the rida of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with a believer, what more can he ask for? Also make the intention that you will listen with utmost concentration. Because remember, ilm-e-deen, sacred knowledge, such knowledge that if you listen inattentively, you may end up understanding the mas'ala being relayed incorrectly. The muballigh may be saying that something is jais, permissible, and the listener thinks that he said it's impermissible. And what is this due to? This could be due to a lack of attention towards the bayan. So the more attentive we are towards the bayan, inshallah, the more reward we will attain, the more we will understand what's being said. And that's the goal, of course. If we understand properly, then when we leave the doors of the masjid today, inshallah, we will have something to act upon. And then we can go and convey this to others as well. Imagine you sat there for half an hour, you went home, and somebody from your family, your family member asked you, what was mentioned at Jummah today? And if you're unable to answer, it'll be embarrassing. Say, I was there for half an hour, but I don't know. I was on my phone or I was doing something else. I don't know what was being mentioned. So it's very important to listen attentively with the intention that you're going to act upon what you've learned. Because ilm is for amal. If you're learning knowledge just for the sake of knowledge, not for amal, then that could come back to haunt you. So make this intention that whatever I remember, I will try my best to act upon it as well. And not only that, a believer should go the further step. He should be eager in this blessed month of Ramadan Kareem. He should also make the intention that, Ya Allah, with your tawfiq, whatever I remember from the bayan, I will try to convey this to others as well. Because a believer is the one who loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If we want to be guided ourselves, if we want to be in a position to reap rewards ourselves, we should want that for our fellow Muslims as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you do good deeds, make the intentions, good intentions in abundance, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will bless you immensely. And as you know, in the last 10 days of Ramadan Kareem, especially on the odd nights, is an opportunity to attain so much reward as it could be Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, is hidden in one of the odd nights in the last 10 days. So the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th or 29th. Although many ulama say that it's the 27th of Ramadan Kareem, nevertheless, every time we get an opportunity on the odd nights, we should perform worship in abundance, inshallah. Inshallah, in the bayan today, we will hear briefly about this special night, Laylatul Qadr. What is it? Why was it given to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What should we be doing on these odd nights? So let us begin. It's mentioned in Tafsir Azizi, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was contemplating, was reflecting. I remember our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was da'imul fikr. He was someone who always contemplated, reflected over things. And he was reflecting upon the previous nations, the previous umam, and how Allah Ta'ala had blessed them with long lives. Today, if somebody is 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old, we say he's lived a long life, and he is in comparison to the people today. But in the previous nations, people lived for hundreds of years, even over 1,000 years. Once the Prophet ﷺ was contemplating, reflecting and thinking to himself that if my ummati were to spend his entire life worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing good deeds, still the previous nations will outdo them in terms of good deeds. Why? Because they lived longer. Someone lives for 80 years, 70 years, someone's living for 700 years, 800 years. So obviously he has more time to do good deeds. So this aggrieved the blessed heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that noble individual who wanted the best for his ummah. He was always thinking about the betterment of his ummah. He was a selfless Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thought about our betterment. And this is a great honor for us as well, us sinful beings. So when this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to console and comfort his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala revealed Suratul Qadr to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suratul Qadr, a famous surah, many of us have memorized it, even young kids have memorized it. Let's hear those blessed words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِّنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ.
Translation, indeed we revealed it, meaning the Quran, on the night of honor. And what do you know of the night of honor? The night of honor is better than 1,000 months. The angels and the sacred spirit, Jibreel alayhi salam, descend in it with the command of their Lord for every matter. It is peace until the rise of dawn.
Subhanallah, we learn from this account mentioned in Tafsir Azizi that because of the yearning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the longing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his ummah, for the betterment of his ummah, Allah Ta'ala blessed us with this special night, Laylatul Qadr. And we owe a lot to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this. I remember this Laylatul Qadr, this special night, which is better than 1,000 months. This is an exclusivity, a khasa of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other previous ummah was given such a night. They weren't given a night which was better than 1,000 months. And this is mentioned in Musnadul Firdaus that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala gifted my ummah the night of power, and he did not grant this night to those who came before them. All those ummahs, all those umam who came before, were not blessed with this honor of having Laylatul Qadr. But this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been granted this night. And think about it for a moment. It's not just one night in your entire life. Every single year you live, you can attain the benefits of this night. So imagine somebody reaches 60 years, 65 years, 70 years of age, becomes baligh between 12 and 15. So almost 50 years, 55, 60 years, he's been seeing this night every single year. Every single year he has an opportunity to earn immense reward, more reward than 1,000 months on that night. So this is a true privilege granted to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's listen to what happens on this blessed night. Many people may not know this. It's stated that on the night of power, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the night of power arrives, with the permission of Allah Almighty, Jibreel alayhi salam descends to the earth. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ as mentioned in the verse. Jibreel alayhi salam descends to the earth with a green flag and a large group of angels. He has a green flag and there's a large group of angels. He affixes this green flag on the Kaaba Musharrafa, on Baytullah al-Haram. Jibreel alayhi salam has 100 arms, two of which he only opens on this special night, on the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And those arms spread from the east to the west. Jibreel alayhi salam then commands the other angels to give salam and to shake hands with every Muslim who is standing or sitting and engaged in prayer or the remembrance of Allah Almighty. So Jibreel alayhi salam orders the angels to do what? To give salam to and to shake hands with believers who are engaged in worship on this night, on the night of power. Dhikrullahi Azza wa Jal, devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, he orders the angels to say Ameen to their supplications until dawn, all the way till dawn. We make dua on this special night. We say Ameen ourselves, but who is also saying Ameen upon our duas? The blessed angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who never disobey Allah. In the dunya, we say we should seek out the duas of the awliyaullah, the salihin, and rightly so. Why? Because Allah protects them from sin. They engaged in the worship and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we have the blessed angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding whom our creator Jalla Jalaluhu has said, La ya'soon Allah ma amarahum. The angels, they do not disobey Allah in what He orders them to do. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ And they do exactly what they have been ordered to do. They are ma'soom عَنِ الْخَطَى The angels are sinless. They're infallible. When the angels say Ameen upon your dua, then why would your dua not be accepted? The question is, what position will we be on that special night? We have to take advantage of these special nights. We have to be engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if possible in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not possible, then at least in our homes. We should populate these blessed nights. We should enliven these blessed nights with ibadah, with tasbih, with tilawatul Quran, with durood sharif, with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very, very important. And if, let's suppose that somebody cannot do any of these things, the minimum should be that a person is not disobeying Allah on these special nights. Because as much as these nights will bring great reward and honor, sinning on these nights means that one is violating the sanctity of these nights. Allah Ta'ala has placed immense blessings and mercy in these nights. And if a believer doesn't take advantage and instead he is disobeying Allah on these nights, then he will face the repercussions of that, of course. As we understand that prior to Ramadan, eating, drinking halal food items is permissible. And as soon as Ramadan Kareem enters, those very halal food items, we refrain from them during the day. It's impermissible for us to eat them. And we eat them after iftar, when we open our fast. That's to do with halal, jais, tayyib things. And imagine sins. Sins are haram even before Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan Kareem, the severity of the sins increases as well. This is why it's important to purify ourselves, cleanse ourselves, refrain from sins at the bare minimum. And then on top of that, do as many good deeds as possible. In Siratul Jinan, Siratul Jinan is tafsir written by the Honorable Mufti Qasim Attari, Muddadhilul Ali, Mufti of Darul Iftah al-Sunnah. This tafsir is available in the bookshop outside in Maktabatul Madinah as well. 10 volumes. In Siratul Jinan, under this verse, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, it states that the revelation of the Quran started in the month of Ramadan. We know this from Quran as well. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. And what actually happened? The Quran descended from Al-Lawhul Mahfuz to the lowest skies, to As-Sama'ul Dunya. And it remained in the house of honor, Baytul Izzah. And then from there, from the lowest skies, according to the wisdom of Allah, the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran continued to be revealed to Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam over a period of 23 years. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do dawr of the Quran in Ramadan al-Mubarak. We know that. Jibreel alayhi salam would come. And like Hufaz do dawr today, they revise their manzil, they revise the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was revised the Quran with Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam in the month of Ramadan Kareem. So it's a very special month which has a great connection to Al-Quran Al-Kareem as well. On the night of power, we should increase our recitation of Quran as well. The maqasid of the blessed night of Laylatul Qadr. Let's listen to that. Rather, the maqasid of the revelation of the Quran. It's stated in Siratul Jinan regarding this verse of Surah Shura. It's verse 7. That, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reveal to you an Arabic Quran so that you can particularly warn those who live in the central city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and its surroundings. And to warn them about the Day of Judgment, when Allah Almighty will gather those in the heavens and the earth, the first and the last of them. And there is no doubt in this. Then they will separate such that a group of them will enter paradise and another group will enter hell. The maqsad of the revelation of the Quran, it's a warning for people to gain salvation from the punishment of the hereafter. And people who cling to the teachings of the Quran, they are the ones who are truly successful. In Ramadan, this month helps us immensely in concentrating in prayer. We know the shayateen, they're locked up. And when you concentrate in prayer and you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you attain the full barakat and the fruits of the prayer as well. Now, if somebody's in prayer but his mind's elsewhere, his mind's wandering here, there and everywhere, he won't be able to attain the full blessings of salah. Now, one way, one great way that the ulama say that you can obtain blessings of salah fully is at least know the translation of what you're reading in the prayer. Which is not asking you to know the translation of the entire Quran or the entire hadith collection.
Whatever you read in Salah, Thana Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, Surah Fatiha Sharif, whatever surah you connect or you read with it, Surah Ikhlas, Surah Nasr or whatever, at least know the translation of that particular surah or those surahs that you're reading in Salah. When you know the translation, you won't just be reciting the words with your tongue, you'll be pondering over their meaning as well. And when you ponder over their meaning, that's when your heart can be affected by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you truly understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So, this was the maqsad of the Quran to warn. What else it says here? That reciting the noble Quran is from the most superior forms of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ عِبَادَةِ أُمَّتِي تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. The superior act of worship for my ummah is what? Tilawatul Quran. One gains closeness to Allah Almighty through Al Quran Al Kareem. It enlightens the heart. When you read the Quran, this purifies the heart. You know, when we sin, what happens? We accumulate dirt upon the heart. In one hadith, we're told that when a person sins, a black dot is placed on his heart. And if he does not do tawbah, he does not do ruju, then he continues sinning, more and more black dots accumulate on his heart until there reaches a time where his whole heart is full of those black dots. And then at that time, when somebody gives him nasiha, it doesn't have any effect. So before that stage even comes, and we should be mindful of this, we should continue reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem, doing istighfar, especially on the Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, so that our heart is purified. And you will see that, you will experience that, that when you recite Quran, your heart will feel like it's being cleansed, it's being polished. Allah Ta'ala is reforming the heart through recitation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. It refines one's character. It removes worries, griefs. It solves your problems. It brings about blessings in sustenance. One gains the pleasure of Allah Almighty through it. A person attains salvation from punishment in the grave when he recites Al-Quran Al-Kareem. You know about Surah Mulk, the famous surah. This surah will come and intercede for the person who used to recite it. He will prevent, the Suratul Mulk would prevent punishment from reaching the person who recited it. This is a surah that we should recite regularly in these blessed nights and outside of Ramadan Kareem as well. And the noble Quran itself will intercede for a person who recited it on the Day of Judgment. The Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that fasting and Quran will intercede on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Fasting will say, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I kept him from fulfilling his desires during the day. A person refrains from eating, drinking and his desires. And Quran will say, Ya Allah, I kept him awake at night. Meaning he would recite me at night. So, who doesn't want the intercession, the shafa'ah of the Quran? Everybody does. Everybody on that day will be in need. People will be in need of a single good deed. But imagine, if you're blessed with shafa'atul Quran, then inshallah you will enter paradise, Jannah as well. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once heard somebody reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And when that person reached these verses, إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Translation, we have heavy fetters and a blazing fire and food that chokes and painful punishment. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became overwhelmed with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned here, this is in Subulul Huda wa Rashad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended to the ground. He fell unconscious, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning this was his level of tafakkur over the Quran. Even though we know, me and you both know, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidul Ma'asumin. He never sinned. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught people how to refrain from sin. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most perfect individual in Allah Ta'ala's creation. He is the most superior and nobody comes close to his status and rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's level of taqwa and God consciousness, that he's hearing a verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem about Jahannam and he falls unconscious. Meaning this is, subhanAllah, again, indicating towards his perfection, his ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, if we're truthful, we are the ones who need to be, you know, doing this, crying over our sins, reflecting over Al-Quran Al-Kareem, that if the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reach me, I'll be destroyed. But we are heedless. We must follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would perform worship all night, to the extent that his blessed feet would become swollen. Maybe none of us can say we've stood to that extent in our entire lives. Maybe. Allah knows best. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand all night to the extent that his blessed feet would become swollen. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she's observing this, Ummul Mu'mineen. And she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of this exertion, this hardship, this difficulty, even though Allah Ta'ala for your sake has forgiven the former and the latter people of your ummah, listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And it's a great lesson for us. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, Afala akunu abdan shakura? Should I not be a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning, this is how I'm doing shukr, worshipping Him all night. Devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sahaba narrate that in Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes recite lengthy surahs of the Quran. Meaning he would stand for that duration that perhaps we've never stood. Imagine reciting all of Surah Baqarah in one rakat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that blessed individual. Al-Quran al-Kareem was revealed to him. The power of the Quran, Muslims should never ever underestimate. Muslims should never ever forget that we have the most powerful divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us. Just to clarify here, when we say that Al-Quran al-Kareem is the most superior book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama explain, and they say what this means is the reward for reciting the Quran is greater than the reward of reciting any other holy scripture revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fi nafsihi, in and of itself, all the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. Meaning previously the Injil was revealed, the Torah was revealed. This is all the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means by the Quran being afdalul kutub, meaning the greatest of the scriptures, is that the reward for reciting the Quran is the greatest. We know in one hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you recite alif lam mim, Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with 30 good deeds. Meaningful. Alif, one letter, 10 good deeds. Lam, another letter, 10 good deeds. Meem, another letter, 10 good deeds. Imagine someone who recited the whole of the first para, the whole of the second para. Imagine those people who are honored to recite the whole Quran in this blessed month of Ramadan Kareem. Meaning they set a target for themselves that they recite one para every day and they're coming towards the end. They only have a few pari left. Imagine the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with in the dunya and especially in the akhirah as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that he is the owner and distributor of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is qasimul ni'am, qasimul jannah. Allah ta'ala has granted him this rank that he will distribute paradise amongst his devotees on the day of judgment. Yet his level of khashiyah, his level of taqwa, we're amazed. And as ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shouldn't just stop there. We should try and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. For this, we need good company, of course. We need to visit the masjid regularly, of course. Not just in the month of Ramadan Kareem. Yes, the month of Ramadan is so special that those people who don't visit the masjid all year round, they're in the masjid in Ramadan. This is the power of this month, the attraction of this month. But we shouldn't justify not attending all year round by saying we attend in Ramadan. We should try and attend all year round. Keep up the prayers as well. If somebody has been given steadfastness by Allah to recite the 5 daily prayers in this blessed month of Ramadan, he's up for Fajr, he's reading Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, he should maintain that all year round. And how is he going to maintain that? If he's with like-minded individuals. If you're with someone else who wants to achieve the same thing, he's on the same mission as you, he wants istiqamah in good deeds as well, then inshallah Allah will aid both of you. Allah Ta'ala will aid all those who are on this same mission. But conversely, if after Ramadan, again we link up and we associate with people who haven't got a care in the world,
about reciting Quran or performing the five daily prayers or following the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be very, very difficult. So alhamdulillah, Da'wat Islami gives us that platform. Remember, the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only benefit if it's done properly. And this goes for Al-Quran Al-Kareem as well. Da'wat Islami has adult tajweed classes throughout the year, where a person can rectify his tajweed. The first thing is owning up. And we must swallow our pride in this regard. Nobody's here to judge anyone. If somebody can't recite Quran properly, the first step is to acknowledge that. And then come sit with the Qari Sahib in the adult tajweed classes, and he will see over time, subhanAllah, how his recitation improves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to remember what has been said and to act upon it as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.